with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives, from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Barbara Sullivan. We have the great pleasure to welcome back to AbleQuest Ben Felton, who now holds the world motorcycle land speed record for a blind person at a whopping 266.685 kilometres per hour. What an amazing accomplishment. In the last edition of AbleQuest, we revisited Ben Felton's early days. Ben is a former world champion and has a host of medals to his name in rowing and cricket. He then embarked on returning to his childhood passion for motorcycle racing. He is the first blind person in Australia to get an international motorcycle competition racing license. Ben manages all of this with the help of his trusted navigator, who rides behind him and communicates through a radio headpiece. He recounts his fascinating exploits to Marnie Roper. And as you listen to this interview, you have to keep reminding yourself that Ben is totally blind.
Hello, Ben, and a warm welcome back to AbleQuest. It's been a while. We last spoke in 2014 when you had a very close shave trying to break the world speed record for a blind motorcycle rider. And this year you returned triumphant. But before we get to that, tell us briefly again about that first attempt in Temora when you reached 219.96 kilometres an hour. And how is it possible for someone with no vision to ride a motorbike at that speed?
Well, hello, Marnie. It's great to talk to you again. Thinking back on that day, on the 25th of October 2014, it was really hot, really windy, which are not favourable conditions to ride motorcycles fast, especially when you're blind. And yes, Marnie, we had a very close shave. In fact, I ran off the runway at about 220 kilometres an hour and into the gravel and the dirt and got myself all out of shape. Thankfully, I managed to save the bike and stop a few metres before hitting a barbed wire fence. In riding back, we realised that that day wasn't going to be our day, and we decided to postpone it and prepare for another challenge, which we did. We kind of decided that riding on airport runways wasn't the ideal location.
Just explain the we.
When I ride my motorcycle, I have a navigator who provides me with navigational commands. Now, they ride another motorcycle. In fact, my navigator is a former MotoGP race winner, Kevin McGee. He's a legend of Australian motorcycle racing. And to have someone like Kevin riding behind me in another motorcycle, giving me navigational commands through an analog radio, is the method that we use. So basically, there's two of us riding two separate bikes, and Magoo gives me directions like go, 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 or left, or right. And so that's how we manage to ride our motorcycles and navigate.
At those ridiculous speeds.
Yeah, you might say that.
From the Temora tryout,
yeah.
What about the interim years? Have there been other attempts?
Yes, there has been. So after Temora, we realised that an airport runway wasn't the ideal location to do it. The runway, for instance, has a 3-degree camber from the centre, so when it rains, the water runs off the runway, and that camber, it makes it very difficult for me to stay in the middle of the track. In fact, I received a phone call from Steve Charlton, the race director of Speed Week, an organisation called the Dry Lake Races Australia, and he rang me and said, Ben, I saw you on TV. He said, why don't you come and run with us? And I said, well, who are you guys? And Steve was telling me that Speed Week, it's an annual event for 1 week, and it's held in March each year on a salt lake called Lake Gairdner, which is in central South Australia. And Lake Gairdner is, well, it's 3,500 square kilometres of salt. It's massive, and it's a flat surface, and there's no landing lights or parked cars or trees or anything out there. So it was the ideal location. So we decided that we should go down there and that'd be a much better location. So after speaking to the team, I rang Steve and said, Steve, we want to come down. And so he took the proposal to their committee, and Steve rang me about a month later and said, Ben, the board considered your proposal and they decided it was 50-50. And I said, what do you mean by that, Steve? He goes, well, 50% of the board supported and the other 50% didn't. And I said, look, fine, leave it with me. We'll come up with another strategy. So I was talking to Magoo. I said, Magoo, I've got this brilliant idea, Ben. I said, let's go to Speed Week and we'll take my bike down on the trailer and you race it. And while we're down there, we'll get a chance to meet all the other riders and learn about the event. Hopefully we can talk to the board members and convince them to let us do a demonstration ride. So in 2016, we drove 2,500 kilometres to central South Australia, and Magoo entered the event and he did really well. And we had an opportunity to talk to everyone down there, and they realised that we were professional and we certainly were aware of our safety. And Magoo was a very competent racer and qualified instructor, and we actually were invited at the end of Speed Week 2016 to do a demonstration event, which Kevin and I did. And we rode out of the pits and down and around and up and down the course six times. He did it perfectly, and then we rode back to the pits. And as we were riding back to the pits, a fire truck pulled out in front of us, and I sort of swerved, stopped, and rode around that and avoided that. And then I parked the bike in exactly the same spot where I started from. And the observers were super impressed with our skill, our riding ability, and how well the technology worked. So we got our demonstration ride in 2016. A few months later, Steve Charlton rang me from DLRA and said, "Ben, the board has reconsidered your proposal, and after assessing all the videos and safety requirements and your risk management plan, we've decided that we'd like to invite you to compete in 2017. And I said, "Oh, fantastic." I said, "All I need is a few hours on the Friday afternoon to do the record attempt." And he said, no, you don't understand. We actually want you to enter as a competitor and to race in the motorcycle division." I went, "Really? You mean compete all week?" Yeah, just like everybody else." He said, "We've made an exemption to the rules." And I said, "Oh, and what's that?" He goes, "The exemption is that you're entitled to have a navigator on the track. Normally, under their rules, you can only have one vehicle on the course at any time. But they made an exemption that we could have two." And so in 2017, we challenged the record again, but we just missed out by about 1 kilometre an hour. Very disappointing. But we came back, learnt a lot, gained a lot of experience, and we went back to Speed Week in March 2018, where we eventually got the world record, world land speed record, and we beat the existing land speed record by 1.355 kilometres per hour.
And how much is that altogether?
So our combined two-way average speed was 266.685 kilometres per hour.
My goodness, that is stunning. Now, let me just take you back to this Speed Week. I was lucky enough to see the program of it on TV, so I've got a good picture of it in my mind. But let's walk our listeners through it. It's not just for motorbikes, is it?
It's for motorcycles, cars, trucks, and streamliners. So
it's a big deal, isn't it? It's like sort of Mad Max out there.
Oh, it's you see everything out there, from tiny, small motorcycles to the most incredible technology and machinery you've ever seen in your life. And there's about 250 different entries. It's a really big event, and they attract competitors from all over the world.
And it's on this massive salt flats, isn't it?
Yes, it's extraordinary. When you see Lake Eyre, you're sort of driving through the outback of South Australia, and the further north you go, the desert sands get redder and redder, and the trees and bushes get smaller and smaller as it gets drier. And then you sort of drive through the Gawler Ranges, some hills, and she sort of pop through go around a few hills and around a few corners, and all of a sudden there's this massive expanse of whiteness as far as the horizon, way over the horizon. It's a bit like seeing the ocean. It just goes off into infinity. So Lake Gairdner, it's about 160 kilometres long and about an average of 50 kilometres wide. Speed Week is held about 6 kilometres out on the salt plains, and you can see parts when you're out there. You look all around you, and as far as the eye can see, it's just pure white, and then you see the blue sky. It's just quite extraordinary.
Even though you don't have the trees or other obstacles to contend with, it's pretty grueling conditions, isn't it?
Yes, it is out in the desert, and in March it can be quite hot. In 2017, we had temperatures averaging around 42, 43 degrees each day, no shade, and also the salt, quite different. Salt, it's nearly as hard as concrete. When you walk on it, it's crunchy. It's like thick, damp sand over the salt.
At one point, the spray came up onto McGee's visor.
So when we're going really fast,
it wouldn't bother you.
No. Well, no, my back wheel's spinning all the way.
All right.
So when we did 266 kilometres an hour average speed, my speedo was saying 299 kilometres an hour. So the rear wheel is actually spinning about 30 kilometres faster than what we're actually moving. So what it's doing is it kicks up salt plume. And the goo will be anywhere between 30 to 50 metres behind me. And even if he's 50 metres behind me, he's just getting showered in my salt that's being flicked off the back tyre. On one of the courses, there was a little bit of a puddle, and when I went straight through the puddle, sprayed Magoo full of water, and then, of course, the salt spray. Now, his motorbike was black, and when he stopped, he looked like Frosty the Snowman. It looked like he'd just been covered in snow. Magoo had trouble with vision. Two things. He was getting salt blowing up underneath his helmet. He was getting salt in his eyes. He was getting bloodshot eyes. But at the same time, his visor was being constantly sprayed with salt. So at times there, Magoo was, man, slow down. I can't see. He was struggling to see. So, you know, that's a little bit daunting, actually, when both of you can't see and you're riding motorcycles. But we managed to get through all of that. And, of course, getting the record was a dream that's taken me 5 years, or our team 5 years of really hard work and preparation, and to finally get the record is just like a dream come true.
Absolutely. Did I read that you plan to attend Speed Week in 2019 and have a crack at your own record?
Exactly. So we are. We're heading back to Speed Week 2019, yes, to challenge our records again. We have a challenger in the United States who is going to challenge our records in September of 2019. So we'd like to see if we can go a bit faster, push that record a bit higher.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to going for a ride on the bike again.
Now, away from the racetrack, you have put your personal experience to wonderful use by setting up the Insight of Dreams Foundation. What are the goals?
Insight of Dreams Foundation is to inspire, to mentor, and to help people develop their life planning skills and encourage them to participate in their own challenging activity. We want to support people who have acquired a disability, someone who's living that life or the trauma of life-changing disability. We want to engage with those people after their rehab and engage with them and inspire them and motivate them to think about their future, provide them with hope, and to help them go through a program where we help build resilience and improve personal well-being, and then hopefully help them develop their own personal life plan where they can achieve their own goals. And I'm not encouraging people to take up motorcycle riding. Really, what I'm trying to do is inspire people to believe that they can achieve just about anything if they're willing to work hard enough for it. And so the Insight of Dreams Foundation is really to provide support, like people like me, when I was diagnosed with my disability and I was suffering and going through that trauma period. There was not much support around 35 years ago for people like me. And so I guess I want to set up Insight of Dreams as a legacy to try and support people that have gone through a similar life-changing experience and to give them hope and get them to achieve their own goals, whether they might be to live independently or to go back to study or to get a job or to achieve a sporting challenge.
And this is what the Back on Track program is?
Absolutely. So the Back on Track program is a psychological wellbeing program.
And if somebody wanted to get involved, either as a participant or volunteer, how's the best way?
The best way is to go and have a look at our website, www.insightofdreams.org, I-N-S-I-G-H-T, ofdreams.org. And there's lots of information about the programs. People can also make a donation or they can contact us as well.
Thank you, Ben. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you again.
Thank you, Marnie.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology and initiatives. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening, and goodbye till next program.